Life comes with a lot of decisions, and it can be hard to know the right path sometimes. A therapist can help you map out what you really want, so you trust yourself to make great choices and feel excited about the future. BetterHelp offers convenient, professional online therapy on your schedule, however you want it, by phone, chat, or video call. Let therapy be your map with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/positive today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/positive.
This is Matt Spiegel of 670 The Score in Chicago, and my podcast, The PBP, Voices of Baseball, is all about the art and craft of play-by-play. Catch up on episodes with Joe Davis, Joe Buck, and many more. Then something crazy happened along the way. I did a weekend of Cubs-Cardinals on the radio, so now conversations are enriched with feedback and advice from Jason Benetti, Boog Sciambi, and others to come. The PBP, Voices of Baseball. I bring you the people who bring you the game. Listen on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning to you. Welcome to the Hump Show. Last hour of the Hump Show, but still, we want to launch you forward so that you can conquer Hump Day. If you're waking up on your Wednesday morning, ouch, it might hurt a little bit. I know that when Bob, my significant other, first texts me in the morning, it's pointless to respond with anything that's at all important because he cannot process first thing in the morning. So he'll send me a text, good morning, how are you, how was your night? But then I respond and it's a blank stare, or in this case, just a mindless text, one or two words that come back the other direction. I can always tell when he hasn't had his coffee. That's going to be fun. It'll be fun moving forward. It's just a little bit too easy. I guess I could ask for anything first thing in the morning, and he would have no knowledge, really. Wouldn't be able to process what I'm asking for.
And he's vulnerable then.
Definitely vulnerable. Would it be wrong of me to take advantage of that? Probably so. And now that I've outed myself here on the show, yeah, he's going to be really careful what he says first thing in the morning. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. CBS Sports Radio, we are asking you to fill in the blank as we get closer to week two of the preseason, as we see more and more teams make decisions, make moves to get ready for the start of the season, which, by the way, is, you can quote me on this, hold on, 22 days from now. 22 days away from the NFL season opener. Don't. We're getting there. Jay just shook his head. Why did you shake your head? That doesn't look like a woo, let's go, LFG. I mean, what do you care? Your baseball team is in the dumpers again. So what do you...
Oh, no, I'm very much looking forward to this season. It's just, I feel like literally an hour ago, it was 30 days, and now it's 22. I feel like we just talked about how it was 30 days away. It was 1 month exactly, and that feels like it was literally yesterday.
You know, it's really funny. A friend sent me this meme. So a lot of times I'll see memes on social, but in this case, it was a meme that, shoot, I know I there it is. It was a meme that someone texted me, and it's got two clocks right next to each other and a dog who's sitting in the middle of the clocks on the floor. And the top says, time is cruel. And the clock on the left is when we are apart, and it's not moving, right? Like it's not moving. On the right, the caption is when we are together, and the clock is just spinning around and around and around. It's so true, right? Time doesn't change. It continues to move at the exact same pace that it has since we got on this earth and will long after we're gone from this earth. It's the same. But the crazy thing is our perspective of time gets so warped if we're either waiting for an event or an opportunity or a particular day, maybe it's a vacation, we have something to look forward to, or it's the opposite. When we're in the middle of something that we really enjoy or something we really love, it seems like time flies. Or I guess if we're dreading a particular event that's coming up, say it's a presentation at work, or it's a meeting with a boss, or it's something that you're not looking forward to, a breakup, something along those lines, it can seem as though time is dragging when you're waiting with anticipation, but it's the opposite when you're waiting with a feeling of dread. Or again, you're in the middle of a vacation. Why is it that when you're waiting for a vacation, the time drags, but when you're on vacation, it flies by in a heartbeat. Why is that?
I don't know. It's what
time plays tricks on
us. Yeah, it just eats at you when you're like you said, like a meeting or something that you're dreading. Like it just feels like, oh my gosh, can we just get there? Can we get there? And it just won't come. But then every time you leave a vacation, oh wow, that flew by.
It did.
Oh, that week
it flew by.
That week flew.
Right.
Always. It's crazy.
It is. It's a trick that our human minds play on us, even though time never changes.
No,
it goes the exact same pace and always will. And yet, and I feel like this is true, even though I don't know that it's anything more than I just didn't pay attention to time. When you're younger, you think you have all the time in the world. And then you get older and you lose people that you care about, or people that you love lose people that they love. I've had so many friends, even family members, who've lost parents recently. And it just kind of hammers home the idea that time is fleeting and you don't have all the time in the world. So maybe it's because when you're younger, you feel invincible and you don't think that you're going to lose someone you care about or that your own life may ever come to an end. I just never really considered time when I was younger because, as I say, it feels like you have all the time in the world. When you get older, it feels like time is moving faster, but maybe it's for that reason because you recognize that time is finite. For every one of us here on Earth, we don't have infinity and beyond.
You start thinking about all the things you want to do and all the things
true.
That
good
you're
point.
Running out of time to
good
do.
Good point.
When
you think
younger,
about
you're
that.
Like, oh, I got time. I'll do that.
Yeah. Right. It's just such a different perspective. Again, it's all in our minds. Our minds are our hearts maybe a little bit, but more it's really about the tricks that our minds and our brains can play on us.
Brains are crazy.
Brains are crazy. And we only use just a small portion of our brains
as
well.
That's enough.
It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, waxing philosophical here on CBS Sports Radio on The Hump Show. As we get closer to the kickoff to the NFL season, that was really where we started with the whole time conversation. We want you to fill in the blank, and we'll probably carry this through into our next show as well. We want you to complete the sentence. The season for my NFL team will be a success if what? And we are getting a fair number of responses on both Twitter, A-Law Radio, and also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. If you did not hear your question answered a few minutes ago on Ask Amy Anything, I do go back and respond, if I can, succinctly on both of our social media sites. And before the NFL season kicks off, we're going to do, what did we decide, Jay? Another Stairway to Seven? Another episode? Or Jay calls them Eps. I feel like in order to be cool and speak the same language as the cool kids, I have to call them Eps.
Yeah, what are we on?
Ep 5, I think, Ep 6, something like that. We started this last year, our Stairway to Seven, but I forgot the topic. What did we?
Well, we were floating the idea of seven teams that were not in the playoffs last season that we think could be in it this season.
That would be fun. And we'll almost always do a brand new video version of Ask Amy Anything when we start a new season, mostly because once football season starts, we don't have time for Jack outside of covering the actual games.
It's a lot.
Yeah. And then when you get to October and it's baseball postseason, our lives are not our own. Right. It's a little bit different when you do a daytime show and you can see the games at night or, you know, a Sunday afternoon, a Sunday night when it comes to football. And you then have the night to process, get ready, formulate your opinions. Nah, it's not the same when you work at night. Speaking of time, there is a time crunch and you have no time. You just have to take the notes in the moment and react so immediately. But it's one of the favorite challenges. It's one of the reasons I've remained on overnights and remained on after hours because I don't want to give up Sunday nights. It's my favorite night of the year to work. By the way, the show last week where you and I were joking about the fact that Bob was about to become second fiddle to football.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds so harsh when I say it. He did send me a text, just something along the lines of, oh, well, pretty soon when we only have you. No, he said, when you only have time for me 2 days a week. I was like, should I pretend like that's not accurate? Or should I just, now that he knows, just rip the Band-Aid off?
Should he realize that it might be less than two?
might not even
be
two.
Hours.
Yeah. Might be 2 hours a week during football season. Yeah, because Tuesday, we're like zombies around here coming off of the football weekend. Oy, I don't think I'm very coherent in terms of conversation. It's Yeah, it's kind of funny when Jay and I attempt to have a conversation on a Tuesday during football season. It's more like grunting.
I think I
really
speak in highlight.
You speak in what? Is that like pig Latin?
No, I just meant highlights, like getting so much sound from 15 NFL
games. Oh, you speak in highlights.
Games.
I got you. Hey, before I forget, about this time yesterday, I don't think it was the exact same time, but it was the same hour. Do you remember when we were joking about Kyler Murray and his sports bra?
Yes.
Well, I wanted to make sure that I clarified. It does not excuse the fashion faux pas, in my opinion. This is just one girl's opinion. Fashion is subjective, just like radio hosts. Some of you love me. Some of you hate me. Jay and I were a little bit concerned about the fashion statement that Kyler Murray was making. So I don't really understand why it is this way, but I just want to clarify that sports bra that Kyler Murray is wearing is actually a tool to measure his heart rate and other vitals. Now, it begs the question, why does it have to look like that? Why can't it be some other, maybe it's a wrist
anything
monitor?
Else?
Yeah.
Literally.
Maybe it's a heart monitor, anything. I don't understand why this particular company is using what is very comparable with a sports bra. It looks exactly like a sports bra. I don't get it. I've seen it on female athletes now because people have sent me photos. Okay, it looks a little more common, if you will. The reason why people are responding and turning Kyler Murray's fashion choice into memes is because it looks odd on him. Let's just be fair. His belly's, it's not hanging out, but his belly's out. Okay. But why? Why can't the company use some other form for this particular heart monitor? That's all I'm asking. Why does it have to be a sports bra?
Yeah, it's really not flattering. I mean, I guess that's not the point of it, but it doesn't look comfortable either, though, is the thing. I was going to say, oh, maybe if it's like, you know, he can move around in it easy, he can throw whatever, he can do his runs easier and that. Nah. It looks like it's kind of suffocating him. It really does.
Anyway, many of you did write to me and tell me the point of the sports bra that he's wearing, but I want to read a couple of tweets from Dr. Rob Bell, who you may know from social media or just from his time in the media. He's a coaching professional and he works with corporate athletes, both corporate and athletes. He's a keynote speaker. He's an author. I value his opinion. And he was listening to the show yesterday morning when I was joking about this sports bra that he's wearing. And so Dr. Bell wrote and said to correct us that it was in fact a monitoring device for heart rate mostly. And I wrote back and I said, yes, it does resemble a sports bra though. And he responded with, I would opt for wearables on the wrist or the arm myself, but you know,
it makes a little more sense.
That's not what Kyler Murray is wearing. So my fault. I did not know what it was. I don't know why still, but that is what Kyler Murray is wearing at practice. Okay? Mea culpa. That's me admitting that I was in the dark. And you know what? I reacted to the clickbait, the photos that were online of Kyler.
Maybe that's it. It was marketing for the company.
True. It's true. Here I am talking about it. If you all care to know what company, well, just look up Kyler Murray in the sports bra. I guarantee you, if you Google Kyler Murray sports bra, that's what's going to pop up.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
If Kyler Murray has any sort of stake in this company, then we'll know that it could have been a possible marketing tool.
Oh, my goodness. It's a lot to keep up with these days, the fashion of professional athletes. And this is just another step. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Big news coming from the NFL world. And even before we get to the QB news, we will let you know that the Colts have, in fact, tapped Anthony Richardson, their rookie, the number 4 overall pick, to being their starting quarterback when they open up the season.
Honestly, I was shocked. You know, I've been grinding, putting in work just to, you know, get the title. But, you know, it's not really all about a title. You know, I'm just trying to make sure I'm ready for the team. You know, despite, you know, being labeled as QB1, you know, I still got other guys in the room helping me, you know, get to that standard. So I'm forever thankful for them. You know, I appreciate them and I'm glad, you know, I did get the nod and, you know, I do have the trust in everybody in the building to think that I am QB1.
He's got big time playmaking ability, and you know that's been showcased in training camp, and then obviously he did some really good things in that preseason game. So I think he brings that playmaking ability that we need.
Shane Steichen names his rookie Anthony Richardson as QB one of the Colts. Gardner Minshew is QB two, and just so Gardner doesn't feel bad, Coach Steichen had some really nice words to say about Gardner.
With that being said, we're super excited to have Gardner Minshew, ultimate teammate, ultimate pro, does everything right, grinds and grinds and grinds. And he's going to be great for Anthony. He's been great for him all season, through training camp and all those different things. But excited about Gardner and this future of this football team.
I don't think I'll ever be, fully ready, because there's always stuff I can learn, day by day. Just getting information from Gardner. He's been in the league for, 4+ years. So just gathering information from him. Yeah, information from Coach Steichen, is working day by day. So as right now, I feel like I'm ready, but, who's to say if I'm ready or not?
I'm laughing because we were just talking about the fashion sense or lack thereof of the heart monitor in the form of a sports bra. Do you remember when Gardner Minshew did the video and he was going cross country in an RV? I don't even think it was an RV. I think it was a trailer. He was pulling a trailer and he was wearing the cutoff denim shorts.
Yeah, of course.
That's Gardner Minshew's fashion sense.
That was a pretty iconic look.
Would you rather wear a sports bra to play basketball like you did this past weekend? Even if it monitors your heart, it still looks like a sports bra. Would you rather be caught dead wearing a sports bra or cut off denim shorts like you're got Daisy Dukes on or something?
Give me the jorts.
Give me the what?
I'm taking the jorts all day.
The jorts. Okay. And here I was thinking that you were cool until you used...
By choosing the sports bra would have made me cooler than
the
jorts.
No, no, no. By using the word jorts.
Oh, yeah. Jorts. Jean shorts.
I wore jean shorts. Well, I call them denim shorts. And mine are not cutoffs. These are not Daisy Dukes. That's what I know them as, Daisy Dukes. But if you wear denim shorts, no matter what, you call them jorts?
Yeah. I mean, I don't own, nor I think I've ever owned a pair of jorts.
No, I don't think, I wouldn't say that most dudes do. I'm not really sure denim shorts is a dude thing, except for Gardner Minshew. Well, in my experience, okay, I don't know any dudes who wear denim shorts. I know plenty of young women who do, or just women in general. I do not know any guys who wear denim shorts, except for Gardner Minshew.
Yeah, not this one, but.
What about overalls?
I haven't seen a pair of, they're starting to make a comeback. I know they're getting
because
popular
the 80s
again.
And 90s are back, baby.
I would wear overalls.
I went to a concert on Sunday night where one of the artists said, "Do we have any rednecks here?" This is in New Jersey, keep in mind. "Do we have any rednecks in the building?" And the guy, he was just down in the row in front of me and off to my right, raises his hand and starts yelling, "Yeah!" There were a few that identified as rednecks in the Prudential Center, which is where the Devils play. Yeah, it was kind of funny.
What was he wearing?
I don't know. I didn't check out his outfit, but he wasn't wearing overalls or jorts.
Jorts.
What an odd word.
Jorts. Shorts,
what if they're, jeans. What if they're denim shorts? Do you call them dorts?
No, I just jorts is just a generic just for any short that's made out of a jean material.
Oh.
For me, I don't know.
Okay. Have you ever worn cutoffs?
I'm not sure. I don't think so.
You don't think so? When we were kids, we used to cut off all kinds of things. Once the pants were a disaster, my mom would just take some scissors and cut them off.
I have a pair of sweatpants or a couple that are shorts. I didn't cut them. They were made that way, but those are nice.
Oh, yeah. We've also done that. Yeah. It was very common in the house when I was growing up that my mom would just take some scissors to a pair of frayed sweatpants or jeans, and we'd have cutoffs.
New shorts.
Then we'd have shorts, exactly. Oh, and as kids, we thought that was the coolest thing ever, when mom just lopped the pant legs off of our pants and gave us cutoffs. But I never called them what'd you call them? Jorts.
Jorts.
Yeah, never used that word in my life until right now.
Google jort. You'll see.
No, thank you. I'm good. You have taught me a new word, and right. Now they don't seem so cool. Okay, we're asking you to fill in the blank on Twitter, After Hours CBS, or Facebook. My team will be a success this season if what? Your NFL team. You need to identify your NFL team, otherwise I have no idea who you're talking about. So we'll get to that. Also, bad news for the Tampa Bay Rays in their quest to catch up with the Baltimore Orioles, and then QB news on the back. On the back half, we're going all in. I'm sorry. I'm going to warn you ahead of time. Spoiler alert. you do have to hear from Aaron Rodgers. It's after hours. It's totally fine. Why do I quote Aaron Rodgers? It's just bad. It's totally fine.
Totally fine.
I see. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
He swings and he hits a high drive deep down the left field line. Headed for Berkeley. Adios! Peralta! On the first pitch against the Rays right-hander, who was brought in expressly to get Wilmer out, he plants one in the bleachers in left field, and it is 3-0 Giants.
Junis had a good breaking ball, obviously, that we kind of swung through a lot or took. He pitched well, and then Manaea came in and had a good fastball. Kind of just nice compliment to each other. We've seen that work in our favor tonight. It didn't work for us at the plate. They did a good job pitching.
Getting you to the good half of your week, it's the Hump Show on After Hours.
To add some injury to the insult of losing in San Francisco, we had heard last week that the Rays and their star pitcher, Shane McClanahan, were considering all the options when it came to his right elbow, or his elbow, excuse me. And, or no, I guess it's his forearm, isn't it? It's his forearm that where he was having the problems. Anyway, he hasn't pitched since early August, and now they're going to go ahead and do, and I don't know why I said right arm, sorry. He's a lefty, duh. All of that, just, you know, scrap that and put it on the scrap heap. I think I was thinking about the other teammate, right, who's about to have bone chips removed from his right elbow, so that's what I was thinking about. For Shane, he's going to have the Tommy John surgery because of this discomfort, the pain that he's had in his pitching arm, his left arm. And so now he's on the IL, but they're going to have to schedule that surgery. And yeah, it could be what, 2 years before he's back to regular form. And if you think about the point at which we are in the season right now, we're talking mid-August. If it takes a year and then he's back, even if he is stronger, I mean, think Justin Verlander late in his career, he was able to win a Cy Young after a TJ surgery. But maybe Shane doesn't pitch next year at all and they hold him out and they wait until the 25 season. But because of the timing of it, it just stinks. They could literally be without him for a whole season plus. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. It's Giants Radio with John Miller. The Giants trying to get their act together, as is the rest of the NL West. Why? Because the Dodgers are pulling away on a 9-game win streak, 13 of their last 14. If you missed my conversation with Michael Duarte, NBC LA, we asked him the turning point, and believe it or not, the turning point for the Dodgers was not on the diamond. It wasn't even a players-only meeting. It goes back to third week in July and a particular event. You'll have to hear him tell the story about what happened behind the scenes with the Dodgers that put them on this trajectory where they were taking over and have now begun to dominate the NL West. As for the Rays, they were tops in the AL East for the majority of the season. The Orioles caught up with them right after the All-Star break, and in large part because of their scuffling, they couldn't seem to get the pitching and the hitting on the same page at the same time. And now, obviously, their pitching has taken a hit. Though they are still one of the best teams in baseball, they're 22 games above 500. They're 72 wins. Just happens to be that the Orioles have the second best record in all of the majors, and they've continued to play extremely well. I did lose yesterday, but are playing extremely well. So for now, the Rays are going to have to continue to forge ahead, and they're going to put different guys in different places, different challenges, maybe have to move people around, move pieces around. But that's baseball. Over the course of a 162-game season, you have to get creative with your pitchers, especially in, you know, this particular decade, last 10 years, it seems like more and more we've had the big injuries to pitchers. But not just that. We've seen teams throw in the towel with their pitchers and go ahead and get the major surgeries especially if it's a young pitcher who's an ace like McClanahan is, and what is he, mid-20s, right?
26, I believe.
26. So you're talking about a guy who still theoretically has so much pitching in front of him. Now, it didn't work real well for Steven Strasburg. Remember, a couple times they shut him down. They didn't allow him to pitch that one season that was such a controversy where they had him on a pitch count regardless of whether or not they made the playoffs. It was such a tough thing for Nationals fans. And I know they ended up winning their World Series and got that redemption, but I'm not sure I will ever agree with how the Nationals handled Steven Strasburg when he first got into their rotation. But yeah, teams, because of the investment that they make in these pitchers, they are more willing to throw in the towel and say, okay, fine, we'll just get the surgery now and get you back as quickly as possible so that we can maybe get a better version of you, a stronger version of you. And a lot of times that's what happens with Tommy John surgery. The ligaments are stronger. So it's a bummer for Shane, and it could be a long time before we see him back on the mound. But because he is so young and because he is so good, they want to try to improve, heal, protect their investment.
Similar to Walker Buehler with the Dodgers, right?
Right, exactly. And he is now throwing him. I've seen the reports of him throwing. There's more on that with Michael Duarte as well. By the way, Tony just sent us John Cena photos in jorts. That's all I'm saying. It's just you ask
about right.
And you shall receive. I don't know if you noticed this recently, but John, whoever runs his Twitter account, maybe it's not him specifically, right? A lot of famous people have social media managers, and they maybe never see their Twitter accounts or their other maybe Insta, TikTok, whatever. They never actually participate in themselves, or very rarely. And so John Cena, his account recently went on a following spree and just followed everyone and anyone, including me, probably including our show account. Yeah, just followed everyone.
Pretty sure he did, actually, because I saw that.
Yeah, were you very excited?
Yeah, I guess. I don't know.
I doubt it was personal. I doubt it was John Cena going through and either he listens to the show and decided he would follow us.
I mean, that'd be cool.
That would be cool, but I'm going to go with that's probably not what actually happened.
I'm going to go with that is exactly what happened because I don't know the other way, so let's stick with the
okay.
good way.
All right, so you're thinking that John was listening to our show one night from L.A. or maybe he was international across the pond.
Wherever the man was.
He was listening to After Hours and decided that show is damn good.
This is
might be
the
best radio show I've ever heard. Let's follow both Amy and the show account.
That's what I think happened exactly.
All right, let's go with that. I mean, given the lack of information, we might as well go with that.
That's what I'm saying.
All right. Thank you, John. We're glad to have you as a faithful and loyal listener. All right, QB News is coming up next. Lamar Jackson, he's taking a more personal approach to the Ravens offense this year. Zach Martin may not be a QB, but he's certainly going to help protect Dak Prescott for the Cowboys. He's back in camp. And, oh, yes, Aaron Rodgers. That's it. That's all I got. Just Aaron Rodgers. Dun, 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 dun.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Shotgun. Alex Collins to his left. Hands it to Collins. Sweeping to the right. Tries to get around the edge. He does. He's to the five. He's to the pylon. And he's in. Touchdown. Alex Collins.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
By now, many of you have seen the tributes and heard, in this case, the Baltimore Ravens talk about Alex Collins and what he meant to their franchise. Of course, the Seattle Seahawks and former teammates of Alex have done the same. I was in touch with his former agent on Monday, and I know that she and the family are obviously having a very tough time in the wake of his tragic accident and his death. And that's how John Harbaugh and Lamar Jackson started their comments from training camp on Tuesday.
The tragic accident, we just, from the bottom of our hearts as an organization, every player, every coach, from Steve right on through the whole organization, we want to wish that family our utmost heartfelt condolences and also our prayers for them, and for Alex in eternity. He was a great guy every day on the practice field. Great energy, great dancer, as you might remember, right? Great dancer. And we loved having him here.
AC, that's my boy. You know, he from Broward County too as well, you know. And he was here my rookie year. And, you know, we was always chatting, you know, playing around and stuff like that. In locker room, great energy, great guy to be around. Just, you know, sorry for the loss, you know, and especially to his family, because he was a great guy.
He was very popular among both the Ravens and the Seahawks and had a year in which he led the Ravens in rushing and was kind of a great revelation and had found a home again with the Seahawks. Just 28 years old and gone far too soon. So a lot of members of the NFL fraternity remembering Alex on Tuesday. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio, that the voice of Jerry Sandusky on Ravens Radio. More to talk about from Ravens camp because Lamar Jackson's taking maybe a new role with his offense.
Murray back to throw, and it is. Is it caught? Oh my goodness, it's caught! DeAndre Hopkins caught it!
Snapping from under center, steps back, throws the fade.
Cooper Kupp's got it! Touchdown, LA!
Burrow back to throw, looking, firing deep for Chase in the end zone.
Oh,
he's
yeah.
got it!
Mahomes fires for the end zone, caught, touchdown, Kansas City.
And off to Eckler again, no, Herbert keeps it, end zone, touchdown, Chargers. Herbert with his second of the day.
Here's the snap, Josh going to keep it himself and run it again inside the five, into the end zone, touchdown, Buffalo. Josh Allen, 9-yard touchdown run. The Bills respond and then some.
It's time for QB News on After Hours.
Lamar Jackson has a new voice in his head. No, not like that. He's got a new offensive coordinator after a few years of Greg Roman. The Ravens make a change, and they bring in Todd Monken. Now, for those of you who are big-time college football fans, maybe you're just a big-time Georgia Bulldog fan, he was part of Georgia's back-to-back college football playoff championships. And after leading their offense, he makes the jump to the Baltimore Ravens. So now has the opportunity to help Lamar Jackson and this offense get to the next level. And Lamar, for his part, is trying to chip in. Maybe drop a couple plays or add a couple plays to the playbook.
Actually, I was just on social media, and I seen, like, a couple routes. And I sent it to Coach T. And he was like, he going to relay the message to Coach Monken. And Coach Monken liked the play, so he put it in practice. We didn't show it today, but I feel like it'll be good for us.
Ooh, more ownership for Lamar Jackson. I like it. And, of course, it helps. The quicker that Monken and Lamar can get on the same page and speak the same language, the more the smooth transition, the easier and quicker the transition will be for everyone on the offense. That includes Mark Andrews, though he says no worries about his connection with Lamar.
Big trust, man. We've been through a lot together. And, that connection is always going to be there.
You may have noticed there were a bunch of kids in the background as Lamar was making his comments, talking about the offense, also talking about Alex Collins. You can hear the kiddos kind of all around, that noise, that special noise that's only made by kids. Well, Lamar spoke directly to them before he walked away.
Listen to your parents. Listen to your teacher. Get great grades. And you can be whoever you want to be.
Love it. The kids' day at Baltimore Ravens training camp. Staying in the AFC, but shifting to the East. I hope it wasn't Kids Day for the Buffalo Bills because there were yet more camp skirmishes. There's much skirmishing happening with the Buffalo Bills this summer.
Everything that happens in between the white lines stays within the white lines. We love each other. It's a team that gets along extremely well. Our locker room's fantastic. We spend a lot of time outside the facility together. But at the same time, we're grown men and we want to win. You know, we don't want to give the defense anything. The defense doesn't want to give us anything. So I'd be worried if it was the opposite, to be honest.
All right, so more skirmishing, more tempers running hot. It's all fun and games till someone loses an eye, though. They better hope nobody gets hurt in one of these training camp skirmishes, which is the big concern for the coaching staff. It's not so much about whether or not the guys are going at each other. I remember, even in 2-a-days, when I would get ready for for my basketball season, we were so sick of scrimmaging each other and matching up against one another. Why? Because it's the same people all the time, because the defense knows what the offense is doing and vice versa. There are no surprises. It's annoying as heck to have the defenders cheating and jumping routes in this case, you know, and knowing exactly what's coming with the offense. And so I understand why you get sick of seeing the same people day after day after day and going toe-to-toe day after day. You want to see someone different. But yeah, when someone gets hurt, then it becomes a whole new animal. All right, also in the AFC East, Aaron Rodgers, you know, buzz. So buzzworthy for the New York Jets, because why? Robert Saleh told us he glows in the dark. I think that'd be cheating. You go on a darkness retreat and you glow in the dark. It's not actually as portrayed. He was a guest on Boomer and Geo, our New York affiliate, their morning show from training camp on Tuesday. And they asked him whether or not being a Jet is as good as he thought it would be when he was languishing in the darkness.
Better.
Better.
Yeah, definitely better. You know, I think sometimes you can say nice things about one thing and not be dissing another. So when I say great things about how I'm loving this year, I feel like I need to say before that it's not a shot against Green Bay. I have a lot of love and gratitude for that time. But that chapter is over. And this has been, you know, better than I was even daydreaming about, sitting in that hole in the ground thinking about what my life could be. Because I contemplated retirement. I contemplated coming back. And the Jets was always the team that was the most interesting to me because of Robert, because of Nathaniel, because of the way they whooped our ass last year. And just, I thought that, you know, it was going to be a good ball club. But it's really been better than I could have expected.
In his hole. That's where he was. He was in a hole. Okay, well, again, if he glows in the dark, that's cheating. So that better not be accurate. Just more hyperbole from Robert Saleh. We all need someone to love us as much as Robert Saleh loves his quarterbacks. How about the addition of one Dalvin Cook to the backfield?
Yeah, I'm excited about him. The running back market, it's been really wild to watch, hasn't it? Just the devaluation of those guys.
Wild to watch the devaluation of running backs. Interesting how he worked that into a question about Dalvin Cook. But yeah, they need him. Although Breece Hall was back at practice for the Jets on Tuesday, which is a big deal. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Speaking of big deal, Zach Martin, he's kind of a big deal, and Mike McCarthy is thrilled. He said, actually, the entire coaching room erupted in applause when they found out that Zach had reworked his contract and was ending his holdout.
You just look the way he trains, the way he prepares. His training's top-notch. He's super consistent, humble. He pays it forward. You know, he helps the young guys. So has excellent relationships throughout the building. And other than that, when he puts his hand in the ground, he's really good. So, I mean, he just does everything right.
So Zach himself was back in camp and all smiles and got a rework deal that's now fully guaranteed for the next 2 years. He says it was worth it to get fined $50,000 for missing the days of practice in Oxnard, California, because he believed the new deal would be more than enough to make up for that. But still wasn't easy to be away from his team and know that they were moving forward without him.
It was definitely difficult. I mean, if you would have asked me a few years ago if I'd ever be a holdout guy, I would probably say no. But, you know, that's what I felt had to come down to reach some of my goals that I was looking for. And luckily it worked out there.
It's good news for the Cowboys, good news for Dak Prescott, and obviously Mike McCarthy, who's calling plays for the offense this year. A lot of changes as well. And I've heard from many Cowboys fans, we've been asking you to fill in the blank, and we'll continue this into tonight's show just because we've been kind of jammed up here. But if you can fill in the blank and complete the sentence, the season will be a success. The NFL season will be a success if my team does what? On Twitter, A-Law Radio, or on our Facebook page. All right, one more here as we wrap up our QB news. We've been trying to be investigative reporters, if you will, and determine which quarterbacks are the subject of season two of this Peyton Manning series on Netflix entitled Aptly Quarterback. We now know it will not be Daniel Jones, which is too bad because he has one unique and extroverted personality.
They did a great job with the show. I thought it was interesting watching those guys and watching each of their stories. And yeah, I thought they did a really good job with the show. not necessarily for me.
I mean, maybe that's unfair to Daniel, because what if we found out that Daniel has the type of quirky, fun personality that Kirk Cousins does, right? He may come across as vanilla and not as colorful as others at his position in the NFL. But Daniel Jones went to the school of Eli Manning when it comes to answering questions. He might be a mini-me for Eli, and we know Eli has an incredible personality. We just didn't see much of it with the New York Giants. We had to wait until we got the occasional commercial with his brother, or until he was post-career and headed for the Hall of Fame. Yes, yes, he is. And now part of the Monday Night Mannings. He's a goof. Maybe Daniel Jones also has a goof hiding inside him. My favorite Daniel Jones moment, though, sadly, and it probably is the case for a lot of people, is when he was into open air streaking toward the end zone in a Monday Night Football game and had no defender within 30 yards of him and somehow trips over the white line and ends up flat on his face.
Stumbles down at the 15. He could not get there.
Actually, it might have been Sunday Night Football, I guess, right? Because it was Ian Eagle and Ross Tucker who were calling the game on Westwood One. All Ross could do was laugh.
That was so infamous. You know, he like broke the record on speed for a quarterback in that run, too.
Well,
he ran too
until,
fast.
Until he tripped.
He was too fast.
That's right. He lost his balance and his top. He got top heavy and his top tumbled over. Poor Daniel. So no quarterback for Daniel. All right, have a great hump day. We'll talk to you tonight after hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. Boom!